Welcome back to Be Fluent in Russian podcast. My name is Fedor, and today we continue to read Chekhov. We have only read it for one podcast, which was not that much. If I were to count the sentences, there'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sentences. So we're on the 10th. And these readings of Chekhov, we're reading Dama Sabachki. For anybody who is new, I do urge you to go back to the first episode, which was about two episodes back. I mean, you'll see it with the titles. And listen to that first. Because, of course, we're going to continue with the story. And you have to understand the beginning for you to understand the second part, etc. But one thought has come to me since I recorded the first part. Was that these classics of Russian literature, the reason why they are classics is because a lot of Russian people read them. And it's considered to be a sign of intelligence or a good cultural awareness or cultural education to read these books. To read these books and to understand them and to read them when you're an adult. A lot of these things will be part of the school curriculum. But what can you really understand when you're just a teen? If you're 12 years old, 14, even 18 years old, a lot of these things will simply not make sense to you. And so it's a really sign of a good cultural awareness and moral standards when a person is well-read, not just on documentaries and history, but also on some classics too, which was a surprising fact to me when... No, that was not a surprising fact. Of course, I grew up with that, so it wasn't... It was like a default thing. If a person is educated, they must have read a lot of classics too. But when I got to the States, I didn't see the same resemblance. It seemed like there was not a same list of authors that people would kind of have that list of literature on. Those American classics were not there. Or at least, they were not there to me. Maybe it's somewhere in the kind of hidden field from me. But I didn't discover that there was such a list. I mean, up until now. And if there is one, if there is a list of like classical American writers or just English writers, then you let me know. Of course, Shakespeare is one of them. Of course, I understand that. And if there is a list like that, then please let me know. But for a Russian list, we can have authors like, of course, Pushkin for poetry. Then we have Dostoevsky, Tolstoy. And the list can go on and on and on. And definitely Chekhov is one of them. And so by listening to these podcasts, I hope for two things. For one thing is for you guys to learn some Russian. What a better source of Russian language than Russian literature, right? Where the Russian is used to its best ability, best qualities. And so, yeah. That's why we bring it to you through this podcast, is to learn the Russian language. But the second part is that you will also gain this cultural awareness of the Russian people. And you'll be able to relate to them, reference some writings, reference some literature characters to them, and kind of bond on that. So you will be truly immersed in a culture in a deeper way, not just like going on Russian Instagram and TikToks, which is also a good sense of culture, don't get me wrong, but these are the classics that stood the test of time. And kind of the third hope, the bonus hope, is for me to also get that cultural awareness and gain that cultural education with these classics too. So I have a bit of a selfish reason with this podcast as well. But enough of this intro. Let's get right into the podcast and into the writing. Дама Собачки. We will start where it says ему казалось, что он достаточно научен, etc. If you're reading along, this is the passage where you find it. But of course, this whole thing will be in the description. We have a line of Russian text, a line of translation. Line of Russian text, line of translation. So today, I want to focus a little bit, of course, on the translation, but also on the pronunciation. How about we focus on the devoicing? That can be a good thing. And one is going to be devoicing, but another one is going to be the sounds ye, yo, you, and ya. So let's get right into this. If you can read along, it'll really help you out too. Ему казалось, что он достаточно научен горьким опытом, чтобы называть их как угодно. Но все же без низшей расы он не мог бы прожить и двух дней. He thought he was sufficiently taught by bitter experience to call them whatever he liked, but still, he couldn't live 2 days without the quote-unquote lower race. So, ему казалось, he thought, or it appeared to him. Not that he actually thought, like, a mental effort of thinking, but it appeared to him something. So it's not your own thinking, it's something that appears to you. Something that comes to you kind of without your understanding where it comes from. Okay. Что он достаточно научен горьким опытом? That he was sufficiently taught by bitter experience. Чтобы называть, to call, их как угодно. As much as to call them, meaning women, he was experienced enough by the bitter experience with women to call them whatever he wanted. But still, но все же, great phrase, но все же, but still, but regardless, без, quote-unquote, низшей расы, without the lower race, он не мог бы прожить, he couldn't have lived, и двух дней, even 2 days. So here, we have, не мог бы прожить и двух дней. He couldn't live for 2 days. But we have this и, и двух дней. И doesn't mean and here, right? It wouldn't be like, he lived 2 and 3 days. No, he couldn't live even 2 days. So a secret meaning of и is even. He couldn't have lived even for 2 days. And one of our focus for today is the pronunciation and the sounds е. When the sound е, or your, you and ya, etc., are in the beginning of the word, make sure that you pronounce it like this. The first word in the sentence was ему. That you hear this y, ему, ему. It's very easy to say ему, ему, or ему, like that. But it's ему. Even make a bit of a more of a conscious effort, ему. And then for the devoicing part, ему казалось. So we don't really say казалось. We say казалось. So this last part is лис, казалось. Then the next word, достаточно, enough. The stress falls on the а, достаточно. And so whatever follows that is devoiced. So достаточно. You can even reenact this with saying it with a full breath, with your full chest. And then drop it. No breathing. Точно. Достаточно. Like that. Of course, this would be an exaggeration of this rule, but it's still a good practice. If you want to sound closer to how natives sound, it's a good exercise. And then, same thing, the next word. Научен. The stress is on the у. Научен. Научен. Okay? I'll make some examples as we go along as well so you can see how it plays out. But also, try to pay attention to my intonation, to the way I read the stressed syllables, and then how I drop the end. And it should sound like this. Ra 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 ra. So, because we have our sentence kind of as one long word, the syllables that are stressed will come up, the rest will be dropped off. Then the stressed syllable of the next word comes up, then the rest drops off. All right, enough of theory. Let's go on to the next sentence. В обществе мужчин ему было скучно. Не по себе. С ними он был неразговорчив. Холоден. Но когда находился среди женщин, то чувствовал себя свободно и знал, о чем говорить с ними и как держать себя. И даже молчать с ними ему было легко. In the company of men, he was bored and uneasy. He was taciturn, maybe that's the word, like unspoken, not really speaking too much, and cold with them. But when he was among women, he felt free and knew what to talk about with them and how to behave. Even staying silent with them was easy for him. So, в обществе мужчин, in the company of men. This crucial phrase, ему было скучно. He was bored. We have this ему To him, it was boring. If you want to rephrase this to say I was bored, you say мне было скучно. Notice that we don't even change было, it's a neuter gender word. We don't say был for masculine, была for feminine. No, we don't say that. For us, it's important just to change the first word. Мне было скучно, I was bored. Тебе было скучно, you were bored. Ему было скучно, he was bored, etc. Great phrase. Another great phrase. Не по себе. Не по себе means to feel uneasy. Again, we say, мне не по себе, тебе не по себе, ему не по себе. Не по себе means not by myself, not for myself. I don't feel myself, I don't feel me, I'm uneasy. С ними он был неразговорчив. With them, he was taciturn. Again, I'm not sure how to pronounce this word properly in English, but that's why I'm a Russian teacher, not an English teacher. Холоден, cold. And холоден is a short adjective of холодный. If you're familiar with the short adjectives, then you should know this one. If you're not, then I invite you guys to check out BeFluent platform to learn this stuff. Of course, with other things too, but we teach short adjectives, which would kind of be the main purpose of this sentence. The main description, the main thing of the sentence is a short adjective. Kind of the short adjectives serve as a verb, as an action, as the main meaning of the sentence. Но когда находился, but when he was located, находиться means to be, to exist, to be placed. There's a saying that there's no to be verb in Russian, which is true. We don't have a to be verb for present tense. We don't say I am happy. We just simply say I happy. But this verb находиться is to be. And it can be used for present tense too. But it's more of to be located, to be in the company of somebody, to be among somebody, and things like that. A building can be in a certain area. That would be находиться, okay? Находиться. Но когда находился среди женщин, but when he was, in brackets, located, among women, среди means among, то чувствовал себя свободно. Then he felt free. Чувствовать, to feel. If we feel some emotion, чувствовать requires себя. Чувствовать себя, to feel oneself, to feel as oneself feels something. Чувствовать себя хорошо, чувствовать себя свободно. Here we say, чувствовал себя свободно, he felt free, и знал, and knew, о чем говорить с ними. О чем говорить с ними means what to talk with them about. О чем means about what, говорить means to talk с ними with them. И как держать себя, and how to behave, how to carry oneself. И даже, incredible word, and even, и даже молчать с ними. And even to be silent with them. Ему было легко. It was easy to him. Alright, let's keep going. В его наружности, в характере, во всей его натуре было что-то привлекательное, неуловимое, что располагало к нему женщин, манило их. Он знал об этом. И самого его тоже какая-то сила влекла к ним. In his appearance, character, in his whole nature, there was something attractive, elusive, that predisposed women toward him, enticed them. He knew this, and some force also drew him to them. So notice this. This guy, we call him, Dmitry Dmitrich Gurov. He called the women the lower race. But in the company of men, he was bored. But in the company of women, he was alive and he felt easy. Something was attracting women to him and him to women. How crazy is that, right? He calls them the lower race. How is that possible? Maybe that's because he wants to convince himself that he is not attracted to them. But here, the translation is enough, I think, for you guys to get some new words. If you want to look at this passage, it's going to be in the description to this podcast. But let's talk about our pronunciation a bit. В его. In his. В его наружности. We have three words. In fact, we have a preposition в. Его. His. Наружности. Appearance. We have this в in the beginning. And then we have его. Again. Y comes as the first letter in this word. So we have to say в его. I understand that it's hard, but в его has to be strong. This Y has to be there. We have to separate the consonants of different words. We can't just say в его наружности. That would be kind of improper. В его наружности is proper. The difference is very minor. Just listen to both. В его, correct? В его, incorrect. В его, в его. So with this в его, this Y has to be strong. Okay? And then, again, we have во всей его натуре. In fact, for this one, во всей его. The word всей ends on this Y as well. Всей. And then the next word, его, starts with the same consonant. So we have to say во всей его натуре. Or you can take a pause. Во всей его натуре. Во всей его натуре. It can be either or. Is there any other ones that I hear? Его тоже какая-то. Yes, there's another его. But all the rest, I think the е, when it's in the middle of the word, it doesn't have the same е sound. It just simply has a э sound. For example, with this word характере. This last two consonants, тире. First one changes to E, T. Last one changes to Е, тире, характере. It's not the same as in the beginning of Е sounds. So, just something to pay attention to. Then we have a very long sentence. That's something about Russian literature. For some reason, they want to have long sentences with multiple connection words and parts and kind of noun-verb combinations. Let's do it. Опыт многократный. В самом деле горький опыт. Научил его давно, что всякое сближение, которое вначале так приятно разнообразит жизнь и представляется милым и легким приключением, у порядочных людей, особенно у москвичей, тяжелых на подъем, нерешительных, неизбежно вырастает в целую задачу, сложную чрезвычайно, и положение, в конце концов, становится тягостным. Repeated experience, indeed bitter experience, had long taught him that every closeness, which at first so pleasantly diversifies life and appears as a sweet and light adventure, for decent people, especially Moscovites, Moscovites? People who are living in Moscow. Moscovites, I think. Heavy to rise, indecisive, inevitably grows into a whole task, extremely complicated, and the situation ultimately becomes burdensome. So here we learn that he is from Moscow, because in the beginning he was in Yalta, which is in Crimea. So now we learn that he is in Moscow. So опыт многократный, experience that repeats multiple times, repeated experience. В самом деле, great phrase, в самом деле, indeed, truly. Научил его давно, has taught him a long time ago. What are some other crucial words here? Let's not spend the whole thing. Oh, this word. Легким. Easy. You might know легко. Easy, right? When it is easy. But notice this pronunciation. Легко. Even though it's spelled as легко or легким, it's легким with a х. Легким. Особенно у москвичей, especially with the Moscovites. Особенно, especially. And in fact, особенно comes особенный человек, a special person too. Another great adjective to describe a person. Нерешительный. Он очень нерешительный. He is very indecisive. So нерешительный is indecisive. And then, в конце концов. В конце концов literally means at the end of all ends, but it means ultimately. В конце концов. Okay, next one. Но при всякой новой встрече с интересной женщиной этот опыт как-то ускользал из памяти. И хотелось жить. И все казалось так просто и забавно. But with each new encounter with an interesting woman, this experience somehow slipped from memory, and he wanted to live. And everything seemed so simple and amusing. При всякой новой встрече, with each new encounter. It's an interesting sentence. Ускользал из памяти. In fact, this word before it, этот опыт как-то ускользал из памяти. Somehow, this experience slipped his memory. Or как-то means for some reason. Somehow. Хотелось жить. And he wanted to live. We have this word to want in English that can be translated either to хотеть, to want, and хотеться. So it's a reflexive variation of it. But the reflexive variation doesn't come with the reflexive variation meaning when it's more of a grammatical thing. But instead, we have, when we say я хочу, I want, I actively want something. Я хочу пить. Ah, I want to drink. I want to drink right now. I want to do something to drink. But another phrase, мне хочется. I feel like drinking. So мне хочется is something that is almost uncontrollable. Something that you just simply want without understanding why you want it. So хотелось жить. He felt like living. He didn't actively want to live. He just felt like living. Kind of like that. So it's not an active act of want of something. So just take a note that хотеть and хотеться are two slightly different verbs. Let's do one more sentence here. И вот однажды под вечер он обедал в саду, а дама в берете подходила не спеша, чтобы занять соседний стол. We're going to live on this cliffhanger. And so, one evening, he was dining in the garden, and the lady in the beret approached unhurriedly, or slowly, to take the next table. И вот однажды, and so, once upon a time, под вечер, close to the evening, под вечер, под means under, под вечер, kind of approaching the evening. So, однажды means once upon a time, or one day, one time, под вечер, closer to the evening time, он обедал в саду. He was dining in the garden. А дама в берете and the lady in the beret подходила не спеша. Подходить means to approach. Is to come up slowly. Не спеша means unhurriedly or slowly. Kind of taking your time. Чтобы, in order to, занять, to take, or to occupy, so that nobody else will occupy it. Занять соседний стол, neighboring table, or the next table. So, he just felt like living when he meets a new person, even though his terrible experience has taught him otherwise. And so one day, this lady in the beret, it's the дама с собачкой, this lady with the dog, was taken at the next table. We're going to continue on this one, on the next sentence next time. Hope you've enjoyed yourself and you've learned something from this podcast. If you want to learn in a structured approach to speak Russian to your family and friends, to learn all the important things that you need for that conversation to go smoothly, then check out BeFluent with the first link in the description. We have recently added a 7-day trial. Now you can try it for free and see if you like it or not. That's all. Join us with the first link in the description and I will see you all there and in the next podcast. And that's it. See you all next time. Пока-пока.